variable in the morning. Wednesday night, rain after 8 p.m., low around 35, and the chance of precipitation is 90%. And a new precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch. Thursday, guess what? Rain mainly before 2 p.m. and high near 53. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Thursday night, a chance of rain before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 20, and the chance of precipitation on Thursday night is 40%. Guess what? Friday, sunny, mostly sunny with a high near 28. Be a little chilly, but it's going to be sunny. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 12. Saturday, sunny with a high near 33. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 23. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour. Compliments at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We work out of our houses. We use our own cars, our own phones, that sort of thing. We have no paid staff or anything like that. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or someone they're related to or know someone, work with someone or are friends with someone who have a mental health issue. And we do this in a number of ways. One of the ways we do it is we have what they call a family-to-family class, which is going to start in Hunterdon County at the Hunterdon Medical Center on the 22nd of this month. It's going to be from 9:30 to 12, and it is totally free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to come. But what they do is they try to get the person taking the class to see what it's like to be the person with the illness. They teach them what to say, what not to say. They go over the medications, side effects, etc. And like I said, it's totally free. Everything, all the binders and all the paperwork is all free. You do have to register, and you can do that by calling 908-284-0500, and they will direct you. We also have a support group that meets the third Thursday of every month. And we try to help people who, again, have people either in their family or sons, daughters, husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, or are friends with people or you work with someone, and we discuss, you know, issues, and some of the things that people have tried may help people who haven't tried that yet. And it's all free, and you don't have to be a member of NAMI to do that. And that's held at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it's at 7 o'clock. It's from 7 to 8:30. You don't have to register for that. You just have to show up. If you have any questions, excuse me, if you have any questions or anything we can help you with or direct you to, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24 hours a day, but we do have someone who checks it at least twice a day, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. That's 908-284-0500. Today, we're very privileged to have with us Cameron Smith, who is the president of Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance of Middlesex County. Cameron, thanks for taking the time to drive up here and, you know, make the trip to Flemington so you can be on the show. I appreciate it.
And thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's, you know, I think it's great what you do, and it helps people, mm-hmm. and that's what we're trying to do. We get the word out of what's available for people. Now, if I understand correctly, Depression Bipolar Support Association, or Alliance, you are a mood disorder support group. Is that correct?
Yes. So just to maybe say briefly, as our title would suggest, DBSA focuses on depression and bipolar mm-hmm. disorders as the two primary mental disorders that we deal with. We're a peer-led organization, and that's important to mention. So our support meetings are led by peers, not professionals, mm-hmm. and they go to what we call facilitator training workshops or peer support workshops to get trained to become a facilitator. We recruit volunteers, just as you describe in your organization. We are headquartered in Chicago. So we have a national organization based in Chicago, and that's where DBSA was founded back in 1985.
Okay.
We have chapters all over the country and right here in New Jersey, chapters all over the state. Some chapters have more than one group. So my chapter, Middlesex, has actually three groups that meet regularly on Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and a fourth group that's Spanish-speaking that's in the process of being set up.
Would you explain the three groups that you just mentioned?
Sure, absolutely. So on Mondays, we meet in Metuchen at the local church next to the train station, 7:30 to 9:15. Thursdays, we meet at the Robert Johnson Fitness Center in Old Bridge, or Parlin to be specific, again at 7:30 to 9:15. And Friday, we meet at the Robert Johnson Hospital in New Brunswick, again at 7:30 to 9:15. So all our meetings start at 7:30, they go to 9:15.
Okay, say, argument, just hypothetically, somebody comes to your meeting who hasn't been there before.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process of that?
Right. So hopefully there are other friendly people like me that will introduce themselves to the new person. One of the things, Larry, I am a big bug about is making sure everybody has a name tag. And I tell some people who forget to do this, it's not because we who come regularly will forget your name, but it's to make that new person who's coming for the first time comfortable. Because it can be a little daunting when you show up for
a support meeting. I am terrible with names, so anybody that has a name tag, I'm happy about it because I am brutal when it comes to names. You know,
right.
I remember faces and where I met them and how I met them, but names, oh,
exactly. Brutal. And sometimes we get meetings that get up to 25 people.
Right.
So really, who can remember 25 names?
Yeah, the first time you're there, right? But then what happened? Would that person be introduced and asked to tell a story or their story? Or
no, we try to make them feel very comfortable. So we don't want to put anyone on the spot. We tell them just fill out a name tag for your first name, take a seat. We have a literature table, too, that they can take literature from. And then the way our meetings are conducted is the facilitator will do an opening introduction. We pass around rules of the road, and then we go around and have everybody introduce themselves. And we have a standard sort of introduction template.
Right.
And if the new person desires, they can bring up a topic that they would like to discuss. But a lot of times the new people just want to listen first. So
a lot of times they can get ideas from listening, you know, and that's our support groups are like that also.
Right.
We don't force anybody to talk, but it, 9 times out of 10, the people do talk. You know?
Right.
And it's, you know, they can learn from others' experience.
Right. So that's really the whole power of a peer support group. You're with people who may very well have gone through a similar experience and can share some things that they learned in their journey that could help you. And so the way we run our meetings is the facilitator, after we do the round of introductions, will jot down everybody who has a topic, and that becomes the agenda for the meeting. And then we do, you know, one person at a time, and then we ask the group if there's anyone who would like to, you know, give feedback on that particular situation.
A lot of times, I know with our support groups, a lot of times, and I'm sure it's with your groups also, somebody will say, oh, I tried this and it worked real well or whatever. And somebody else will say, I got to try, you know, mentally say, I got to try that, you know. And I've seen it happen, you know, and where somebody will say something, oh, they did this, this, or this, and it worked real well. And you look around and you see somebody going, you know, like thinking maybe I ought to try this, you know. And it works sometimes, you know. And, yeah, sometimes it doesn't, but it does work sometimes, you know.
Right.
So I'm assuming that can happen in your group, too.
So one of the things we really try to emphasize is that, again, none of us are experts or professionals.
Right.
And so we always talk about our experiences and what's worked for us. We don't try to tell anybody this is what you should
right.
do.
No, absolutely. Right.
And as you just indicated, what might work for one person won't necessarily work right. for another person.
Right. But a lot of times people will try it.
Exactly.
And they don't know if it'll work or not, you know, but.
Right.
Now, how did you get involved in all this?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a bit of a story, and I'll try
okay.
try not to use up the whole hour.
No, that's
here.
All right. Yeah. We'll give you 45 minutes of it, okay? How's that?
Okay. So, real quick on my background, Larry. I'm currently a retired businessman.
It's nice. I'm retired, too.
More importantly, though, I am an active president of the Middlesex chapter, as you indicated. But anyway, that was my career. I worked in finance and planning, a number of corporations. And then I hit this really big pothole about 5.5 years ago. In the space of 1 year, my father died. I lost my last full-time job. I tried a new career that failed miserably. I was hospitalized for a mysterious attack on my nervous system, and my mom's Alzheimer's went into high gear. Mm. So all five things in 1 year, and to be quite blunt, I did not handle it very well. I really went into a very dark place. I was hospitalized, and then I went to an outpatient program, and at that outpatient program, someone mentioned DBSA. So I just checked out a meeting, and I found, wow, this might work for me. So then I started attending these meetings regularly. So this is about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Just as a member.
Right.
And I found it just very helpful getting that feedback, like we were discussing, mm-hmm. from people who've had similar experiences. And being in a very supportive environment. And then what happened after I got better, I kept coming to the meetings. And just a quick point on that, one of the members I remember coming up to me saying, Cam, you seem fine. How come you're still coming to the meetings? And I said, that's exactly why I'm coming to the meetings. I want to stay fine. So
right.
I find the group support meetings are not just very helpful to people who are struggling, but also people who just want to maintain their wellness.
Right.
It's really an important part of just staying on an even keel. And that's one of the reasons I kept coming back
and
to the meetings.
A lot of times going back, like you said, you get the support of the other people, mm-hmm. which you need.
Right.
A lot of times.
Right.
And that helps. I know
sure.
it helps in our support groups. You know,
right.
not everybody is, you know, going through a crisis at that time, but they like coming and helping other people, and they tell their mm-hmm. stories or whatever, you know, and it helps.
Right.
And, the same with you there, you know. So I
right.
can understand that perfectly, you know.
Right.
My wife and I facilitate the support group, but, mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, different people come and, you know, sometimes they come, you know, for months at a time, and then they don't come
right.
for months, and then they come back again, you know.
Right.
And I don't know if that happens with your group, but.
Yeah, we get, you know, repeat visitors
right.
that
right.
are kind of regulars. And then some people, you know, might after a while just stop coming. And then we get a regular trickle of one or two new people that come mm-hmm. each time. And you know, so it's a blend of,
right.
of very new people. And it's nice to have the so-called veterans because they're maybe further along in that journey. And it's good for those new people to see, oh, I can get there too.
Right.
So you're not
right.
just with people who are really in a dark place. You're also with people who have been in a dark place but now have gotten a lot better.
Now, can people come to these meetings without the person who has the disorder?
Oh, absolutely. What happens, we actually find this happens frequently, that a family member, a friend will come first because the person who's actually suffering is very reluctant
right.
to come and
right.
get help. So they'll come and they'll check it out. And then, you know, we actually will a lot of times give some very helpful advice and suggestions. We actually have a literature piece specifically designed for parents and family members that gives them some tips. And a lot of times after coming by themselves, the family member, friend will then bring that person who's actually suffering with them, and they come together at a following meeting.
And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times that they need somebody to go and find out, you know, what it's about and come back and tell them, you know, so they could come, you know, so.
Right. So they can tell it's a safe environment.
Right.
I think that's what may be keeping people from coming to these support meetings. They feel just like, oh, I am not sure I want to be there.
It
could be very uncomfortable.
Right.
And that sort of thing.
Are the three meetings that you spoke about, or
Metuchen, Parlin, and New Brunswick?
Right. Are they all run the same way?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, the Spanish, I assume, will be run the same way.
Right.
It's just Spanish. In Spanish, right.
Exactly.
That's why Mental Health Matters, this show, there's another show on tomorrow called Mental Health Matters in Spanish.
Right.
And, you know, and they do the same thing we do, you know, but it's just they do it in Spanish. Because there is a, you know, a high Spanish-speaking population in Hunterdon County, too.
Right.
So, you know. As all over, really.
Well, New Brunswick in particular has a very heavy Hispanic population.
Right.
And it just makes sense. Just to give a little more background on that, there was a group of medical students at Robert Johnson who were working at one of the clinics there. And in the course of treating patients, they just realized, wow, there are a lot of people in this community who also have mental disorders.
Right.
So it's not just their physical illness, but it's also their mental illness. And as you know, a lot of times those two things go together.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So they decided, what can we do to help them with their mental disorders? So they decided they want to organize this group specifically for Spanish-speaking people. So right now they're in the process of finding a good location, because that's a very important part of dealing with that audience.
Right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Cameron Smith, who's the president of Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance of Middlesex County. And prior, you know, before we took the break, we were talking a little bit about how Cameron got involved with this. So if you'd like to continue a little bit, go ahead.
Absolutely. So earlier in our discussion, Larry, I was kind of talking about my connection to DBSA as a consumer, if you will, and found it extremely helpful. And so now I want to talk a little bit how I became more active as a leader in the organization.
Sure.
So what happened, I was going to the meetings in our New Brunswick location. I'm actually a New Brunswick resident, so it's very close. And one of the leaders of the New Brunswick group was going to set up this other group, the one I mentioned in Parlin. And he asked me if I could take over organizing the New Brunswick group. And there's a bunch of things, by the way, that are involved in being, I guess you would call it, the group organizer. The group organizer schedules facilitators. He works with the facility owner, whether it's a church, a hospital, or whatever. He or she would handle collecting the donations, making sure we have literature. So
right.
There's a bunch of things, and communications, sending out emails and that sort of thing to the members. So there's a bunch of things the group organizer does for each of the groups, and that's an important role. So this other guy I mentioned was going to do this at a new chapter or new group in our chapter, and he wanted me to take over for him in New Brunswick, which I was happy to do. As I mentioned, the group had helped me personally so much, I was very eager to give back and help by becoming a more active leader in the group. So I took over, and this is about 3 or 4 years ago now.
Okay.
And I was organizing the New Brunswick group. And you heard me mention one of the things was getting literature. So this is sort of a funny story. I needed more literature. We were running out. And it came from our national organization. But I didn't know how to get more. And so I tried to reach out to our chapter leaders. The problem was our chapter leaders were sort of absentee leaders. And I got very frustrated, and so frustrated to the point that I basically organized a group of members, and we took over the chapter. So I then became president about 3 years ago, and then we did have, you know, regular elections
right.
and all that, so I don't want anyone to think I'm a dictator. But there was clearly a need for new leadership. And so one of the things I realized was it was very important to be accessible to the members
right.
And responsive. So I you can see my name, email, and phone number right on our website. So if any of your listeners, you know, go to the Middlesex chapter of DBSA, you'll see my name, a number, and I respond. I make a point of responding very promptly to people. But equally important, I would attend the different group meetings regularly.
Right.
So, again, people got used to seeing me, and that was an important thing. The other thing, though, that I really felt was important to make our group successful was recruiting more facilitators. You know, the people who run the group meetings are really the key people in our
Definitely.
Organization. And what I kind of observed from the previous regime was they rely too much on one person for each group. And what happens when one person does all the work every week, they often get burnt out. And so that person then quits, and you're without a group facilitator,
right.
which is not good at all for the group. So one of the things I made my top priority when I took over our chapter was really to recruit more people to become facilitators. So we have these training workshops that are run by the state organization a few times every year. And I really made a point of getting our people to attend those workshops to become facilitators. And then my goal for each of the groups was to rotate the facilitator so there'd be a different one every week of the month.
Right.
And I've actually had people who come up to me and said, gee, can I do it a second time? And I politely decline. And I say, thank you for offering, but we'd really like to get a different person every week of the month. And I think that really helps a lot because nobody gets burnt out, number one. Number two, for the members that are attending, you see a different facilitator each week, and it's possible maybe you don't like the style of a particular person, and if that person was going to be there every week, you just won't come back.
Right.
But if you know there's going to be a different person, then that's not an issue. And I just think it's good for both the facilitators and the members to have that new person come in. And also what I observed was that then becomes the backbone or the really the source, the funnel, if you will, for our leadership. So where do we get new leaders? It's from that pool of facilitators. And then that's very important, as I'll explain in a couple other stories here. The other thing, though, that was a side part of my recruitment strategy is I noticed in a couple of our groups, they tend to skew initially very heavily towards males. And so part of what I tried to do when I was recruiting new facilitators, I really made an effort to recruit female facilitators. Right. Because I had this pretty good guess that if there were more female facilitators, we would probably not only attract more women, but keep women coming back. Because I felt women generally would be more comfortable talking about their issues if there was a female facilitator. So that's what I did, and it really happened. We definitely shifted the demographic. So we used to have something like 90% male, 10% female. Once we got more women facilitating, it went to maybe 60% male, 40% female. So we really boosted the female population. And I think that just created a much more healthy environment as for everybody. So I'm really proud of that accomplishment. But one of the other cool things that happened in our chapter, because we really made an effort to get more people involved, one of the things we tried to do, and I really made an effort, is to introduce more social activities. So in addition to the group meetings, I started a Christmas holiday party. We also had a summer annual summer picnic. But then just in the past year, another group of our members decided to form a social committee. And so now we have a regular bowling night every month. We have a game night every month. And we have an arts and crafts day every month.
Yeah.
And so we do that on a regular basis every month in our chapter. And it's just really cool to see these other people who really stepped up and got more involved and created these other activities that make just a great environment for our members.
Sure, sure.
And give them something else. Because, as again, we know from people who've had mental disorders, one of the biggest issues is the tendency to isolate.
Right.
And so it's really good if you can give people other reasons to come out of their home and do something.
Sure.
And spend
absolutely
some time with other people.
Now, there is no fee for these support sessions, is there?
No fee at all.
Okay.
So we do not charge any fee. We ask for a voluntary contribution. So we pass around an envelope at our meetings, but it's all voluntary. Nobody has to pay anything.
Right.
To be
okay.
A member.
Now, your sessions are not considered therapy sessions, are they?
Correct.
Okay. What are they considered then?
Well, one of the things we really make clear is none of us are professionals. None of us are experts. We're, as you just said, we're not charging a fee. We're strictly a support organization. So we're there to support people and share our experiences with people who could benefit from hearing the stories of other people who are going through similar situations.
That's like all our facilitators, my wife and I and others, you know, we have other women who do it. They all have some experience of some sort or other.
Right.
In our case, we have four kids, and our youngest son is schizophrenic. So youngest son, he's 40-something. But he's considered a success story now. Mm-hmm. But at one point, when it first attempted suicide twice, he wound up in a state hospital for almost 3 years. And, you know, and in and out after that many times that we care to count. But now he has his own apartment for almost 8 years. Mm-hmm. here in Flemington. He has a job for over 5 years. He volunteers at the hospital one day a week and takes his meds religiously. And he's, you know, considered a success story. But it's been a long haul. It's been over 20 years.
Right.
And, you know, with a lot of downs more than ups. You know? But thank God, you know, now it's doing well.
Right.
And we enjoy the good days, you know, because who knows? Bad day could come again, you know. But
right.
Anyway, now the people who are trained to run these meetings,
mm-hmm.
now you mentioned briefly how, you know, how are they trained?
So what happens is our state organization,
okay,
there is a DBSA New Jersey organization,
mm-hmm.
and they organize these workshops that are usually scheduled on Saturdays. It's usually goes from about 9 to 4 o'clock, so it's an all-day activity. And it's led by generally our president and usually someone who assists
right.
him. And they go through various sort of modules, you know, just talking about how meetings should be structured. We do role play, which is actually a very popular part of the training because people can actually suggest situations, and then we'll kind of act
mm-hmm.
it out
right.
and see how you might handle sort of a difficult a member, for instance, or somebody who's disruptive or somebody who's just dominating the conversation. So there are various types of situations that people could run into, and it's good to just show them how would you handle this situation. So anyway, once they go on to that one-day course, they go on my list. I get them on a list. A pool, if you will, of people that I
mm-hmm.
then
right.
Sign up for facilitating every week of the month.
Good. Okay. Now, some of the symptoms of mood disorders we're going to go over here.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd briefly elaborate on them as I, you know, decreased or increased sleeping. That's one of the
right.
symptoms, correct?
Yeah, I have to just start by telling you, Larry, I personally am not an expert.
No, but, you know.
I can tell you the symptoms I experienced when I went through my dark period.
But you know. It,
yes.
But with your support group and everything,
right.
therapy group or whatever you want to call it, the people that come have these symptoms.
Sure.
May not have all of them. They
right.
may only have one of them.
Right.
You know, and when you listen as you're facilitating,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, they have, you know, they can't sleep. They're up all night or, you know.
Right.
Is that you find that common?
Sure. Sure. And so the beauty of the group, though, Larry, is I personally might not have a particular symptom that a member
mm-hmm.
is bringing
right.
up.
Right.
But when you're in a group session, there's a very high likelihood that
somebody will.
One of the members
right.
or more than
right.
one member will experience
right.
that symptom. And then they can share how did they deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, not being able to sleep. You know, we talk about, you know, don't bring electronic devices into the bedroom.
Right.
Try not to eat too late. Try not to
yeah, definitely.
Drink too much caffeine. Maybe play music or get into some kind of ritual that calms you down
mm-hmm.
to sort of
right.
stop the wandering thoughts that people will
right.
have in their heads. So there are a lot of these things that people can suggest that have worked for them, and then they share them with
right.
That member.
What about loss of energy or motivation?
Yep, again, popular one. Popular one, loss of energy, loss of motivation. If I could just back up and talk about maybe more generally sort of approach to wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this from attending an intensive outpatient program, IOP, which
I know what it
a lot
is.
Of people yeah. have gone through. I had this one thing that just stuck in my head, Larry. I want to just mention it because it's sort of almost a universal type approach. And I'm a numbers guy, so that's probably why it's stuck in my head. But I'll never forget this one counselor at the outpatient program sharing sort of the keys to success, to wellness. And it was a three-part thing. One was 25% meds. The second was 25% therapy, and therapy being both group and one-on-one. And then 50% was you. And what they meant by you was working on these coping strategies and techniques, which are really essential to wellness. So when we have these discussions in our group sessions, a lot of times medications are brought up.
Right.
And what I like to share with people, just my own personal history, is I probably went through around a dozen different medications, and frankly, none of them were particularly effective for me. But what I found was so important was really working on those other elements that I just mentioned, the therapy part, finding a good therapist for myself, mm-hmm. but also attending the group therapy, and then really working on those coping strategies and techniques. And when I look back again on my personal history, I see that I probably had those depressive episodes many times, you know, before,
sure.
earlier in my career. And I really never addressed them by building those tools that we just discussed.
Right.
And so once I really went to that dark place that I mentioned earlier, I realized I had to do something. And that's when I really worked on building that support system,
right.
that has served me very well, that I really try to emphasize is important for everybody to work on, building that support system and really developing those coping strategies and techniques.
And, you know, the problem with medication is I may be able to take aspirin and you can't. Your body doesn't adjust to it.
Right.
And when people with a mental health issue go to the doctor, they prescribe what has worked in the past. Not necessarily what may work for them, but it's a success medication that's worked over the years.
Right.
But then again, it may not work for you or me.
Right.
And we may try 10, 15 medications before they find one that works.
Right.
And I know that's gone through with my son, because my son, since he was 5, he was epileptic.
Mm-hmm.
So the epileptic medication messed up the psychotic medication and vice versa. And until they found a combination that could work together, it was brutal.
Right.
And, you know, so it's very possible that the same thing happens to people, you know, all over, you know.
Sure.
Like I said, you could take aspirin and I couldn't, or vice right. versa, you know. So
right.
finding the right medication is not easy.
Yeah, and I like to tell people, even if once you do find that right medication, it's really important to work on those other things I mentioned.
Oh, yeah,
because
definitely.
If you just rely on medication alone, that's not going to work.
Right.
You need to work on those other elements that I mentioned, the therapy and also those coping strategies
right.
and techniques,
right.
which you need to build into your daily routine.
Right. And, you know, we didn't go over a lot of these, but mm-hmm. there's exaggerated feelings of guilt, unexplained aches or pains or ailments, inappropriate or exaggerated feelings of sadness, hopelessness, anxiety, impending disaster or doom. And these are all things people feel.
Right.
Not all of them at the same time, obviously,
right.
but,
right.
you know, but individually.
Sure.
And it's sad,
right.
you know. Because a lot of times, you know, they have some of these. They may have one or two of these
right.
incidents, and they don't want to do anything.
Right.
They don't want to get out of bed.
Right.
They don't want to come downstairs and face, you know, the next day.
Right.
Because it's easier just to stay in bed and, you know,
sure.
not face it. But it's not good for them to stay in
no.
bed and not face it.
No.
But they feel it, you know. And you can understand.
Right.
You know, I don't say I agree with it, but I can understand it.
Right.
But there is hope.
Yes.
And how does your group elaborate the fact that there is hope?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that just inspires me, Larry, and makes me so happy that I'm part of this organization is I get to see the effect of the group dynamic on new people that walk in. And I can just maybe share a couple of stories. Obviously, won't mention names. But I remember not too long ago having a meeting where a member came in whose close friend had recently committed suicide. And this person was just horrible. I mean, the voice, he could hardly speak so we could hear him. His voice was just so low. And you could just see on the face of this guy, he was just really hurting. And then what happened was the rest of the group sort of jumped in. And various people, you know, offered some suggestions or thoughts, you know, right, that had worked for them.
Right.
And at the end of that meeting, Larry, I looked at this gentleman's face, and I visibly saw a change in his demeanor. And it was just the most amazing thing to witness.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, people are going to be fine in a session, but it really demonstrates the power of the group dynamic in this peer support group. And so I just find, and I also mentioned this to other members, don't just wait till you're feeling really crappy to go to a group meeting. Just incorporate that in your regular schedule.
Right. Right.
You know, as I mentioned earlier, when somebody came up to me and asked, Cam, you seem fine. How come you're still coming to the meeting?
Right.
And I said, because I want to stay fine.
Right.
So,
and the support is great, you know.
And what you find out, and this is something I'm sure you know too, Larry, when you're helping other people, it makes you feel good.
Right. Exactly.
A big lift.
Right.
So it's not that we're just being goody two shoes and all that. We're helping ourselves. As well.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's a great feeling when you see how you're helping other people.
Right.
So
right.
I encourage people, you know, keep coming back even after you're feeling good.
Right. Right. We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have Cameron Smith, who is the president of Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance of Middlesex County, New Jersey. And we've been talking about the various things that they do in groups and so on and so forth. And there was something that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, a couple of things,
okay,
Larry, before we're done. First, I just wanted to share sort of on a personal basis. When I was going through my journey, one of the things that prevented me from getting help much earlier in my life was I had a personality being a very independent person. I'm still probably a very independent person. The problem with that sometimes when you're a very independent person is you're reluctant to get help. And so when I probably could have benefited from getting help much earlier in my career, I just sort of toughed it out. And I didn't really master those tools that we were talking about,
right,
to really maintain wellness. But when I finally hit rock bottom, like I mentioned 5.5 years ago, I realized I needed help. And so I think the most important sort of takeaway for me, but I think that applies to everybody who has dealt with a mental disorder, is to be willing to seek help.
Right.
Don't try to tough it out and handle it yourself.
Right. And I agree 100%.
And my willingness to try different things also was important, because as we were talking, certain things might not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get discouraged when the first thing you try doesn't work.
Right.
You just got to try something else.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Eventually, you'll find the combinations of things that will work for you and help maintain your wellness. So I really just wanted to get that point out.
And the thing is, too, that there's so many people who have a mental health issue who are leading normal lives. And some of them are very famous, you know.
Right.
Terry Bradshaw,
right?
Right? 3 gold rings, Super Bowl,
right,
suffers from severe depression, right, you know. You know, you can go on and on. It's just
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen just came out and said he had depression not too long ago after he wrote the song Depressed. But, you know, it's there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, people with a mental health issue of any sort doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go and be Bruce Springsteen or Terry Bradshaw or whatever. But by the same token, they can lead a normal life.
Right.
I have a very good friend who has a mental health issue. He has been hospitalized and all that. And he's a CFO of a large corporation. You know? And it's, you know, it can work. And people can go on with their lives.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just a matter of getting through the, excuse me, the hell.
Right.
To go on and get the right medication and see the, you know, the doctors and help that you can get.
Right.
with support groups and therapy groups and so on and so forth. So it's just, it is out there.
Right.
You know, they can lead a life again, you know. The one they had may not be the same as what they're going into. You know, it may be totally different. But it doesn't matter. You know, they can succeed in it, you know. So
If I could just jump on that.
Sure,
point,
go ahead.
Which is, there are resources out there to help. And one of the things I like to joke about with people about my organization, DBSA, is I like to say it's the next best thing to slice bread, but nobody knows about it. And so one of the reasons I'm here on your show, Larry, and one of the activities I intend to ramp up a little bit more is just building more awareness of DBSA. And I think it's really important for people to know about these resources that are available to them. And there are other fine organizations such as yours, NAMI, et cetera, et cetera. But since I'm a DBSA guy, if you don't mind, I'm just going to talk a little bit more about DBSA and how can people find out more about DBSA. So I mentioned we're a national organization that's based in Chicago. The website for the national organization is DBSALLIANCE. So it sounds like DBSA Alliance,
right?
But there's only one A there,
right?
And that's .org. So that's a national organization. If you are looking for support groups outside New Jersey, you could go there. They also run online support groups for people.
Okay.
Who may not have a support group that they can physically get to nearby. Now I'm going to just go a little closer to home here in New Jersey and talk about how do you find out more about DBSA in New Jersey. So the website for the New Jersey organization is dbsanewjersey.org. That's pretty easy.
Right, that is.
Now, if you forget any of those URLs, if you just Google DBSA, you'll get to us, okay? But assuming you are on the DBSA New Jersey website, and again, that's a .org, you'll notice one of the things you can navigate to is our group locations and meeting times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a PDF document that I print out and I hand out to other groups when I do some community awareness. I call it our dealer locator. So it shows where all our group meetings are located and the times and days that they meet. So I encourage anybody who's in New Jersey to check that out. And we also usually have a contact person for each of those groups. So if someone wants to just ask a few more questions, they're welcome to do that as well.
Is there a phone number?
Yes. Well, we have a phone number for each of the groups.
Well, you know, what about yours?
So if someone wants to inquire more about Middlesex County, which is where I am the president of our chapter, I actually have my number there. That's 908-672-9250. So anybody is welcome to call me. I do mention on the website no calls after 9 o'clock. And I also give out my personal email, too, which is CameronS1006@gmail.com. So people are welcome to email me as well. And I do get periodic requests and calls from people to ask a little bit more about the meetings. And I'm happy to respond.
In about 30 seconds, is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't touched on?
Well, I'd just like to thank you again, Larry, for giving me the opportunity to just tell the DBSA story and get the word out. I think what you're doing is great, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we're going to have you back down the road, okay? I promise. You will be back.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you again.
And we thank you for coming, and you've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We won't see you next week because the chamber and everything is closed. We will do a rewind of a previous show because it's President's Day and it's a holiday here for the chamber and county offices and all that jazz. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So take care and remember, mental health really does matter.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it!
...by actor Jimmy Bennett, who says she sexually assaulted him when he was 17 years old. Argento, one of the leaders of the Me Too movement, allegedly paid Bennett $380,000 last year. That's according to the New York Times. This is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Next, you're holding up the line, ma'am.
What did you say?
You're next in line for the water slide, ma'am. Feet forward and enjoy the ride.
Okay, dearie, this does look fun. You've melted me. I've melted.
The Wicked Witch of the West on a water slide? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
See what you've done. Oh!
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
A woman falls from a cruise ship at sea and lives to tell about it. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes with the details.
46-year-old British citizen Kay Longstaff says she fell from a Norwegian cruise line vessel in the Adriatic Sea on Sunday and was saved by the Croatian Coast Guard.
I fell off the back of the Norwegian Star, and I was in the water for 10 hours. So these wonderful guys rescued me.
Carrie Marafioti is an American citizen who was also aboard the cruise ship.
I'm ecstatic that she was actually found alive. We just thought that that was crazy that after she was treading water for about 10 hours that that was even possible.
Both Marafioti and Longstaff were speaking on NBC's Today Show. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The jury in the criminal trial against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort resumed today. Manafort is being charged with 18 criminal charges of tax and bank fraud. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
First Lady Melania Trump spoke out today against cyberbullying as part of her Be Best campaign. The First Lady was speaking in Rockville, Maryland.
In today's global society, social media is an inevitable part of our children's daily lives. It can be used in many positive ways, but can also be destructive and harmful when used incorrectly.
What goes into writing a good and memorable monologue? Well, Greg Gutfeld is co-host of the TV show on Fox News, The Five. He's also a New York Times best-selling author, and he has a new book out titled The Gutfeld Monologues, Classic Rants from The Five. I had a chance to chat with Gutfeld and asked him what goes into or what's the key to a great monologue.
Well, first you got to find something that interests you and something that would interest other people. So that's step one. Step two is to figure out an angle that hasn't been addressed by everybody else. So if you see the same kind of media assumptions on about a story, let's say about terrorists or about the Mueller investigation, you have to find a way to address it in a way that hasn't been said before. And then the third and most important thing is that however you address it has to match the viewers at home's assumptions, although they didn't know it before. So it's like it causes them to go, aha, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Please remember you can check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook.